please. Wait just a minute, Mr. Wade, let everybody get settled.
All right.
Okay, go ahead when you're ready.
May it please the court. Your Honor, any view of this record will demonstrate that what the district court did in granting summary judgment in this case is to weigh the evidence. There was plenty of evidence from which a reasonable fact finder could find that race was a motivating factor, in fact, probably the only factor in Carol Vaughn's discharge. I could go through each of the 10 or so items of evidence that indicate race was at the heart of this, or a desire to treat black employees in a more favorable fashion than the white manager. But the thing that was most persuasive to me in looking at the record was the fact of this very troublesome black subordinate employee who was a total problem, who wouldn't show up to work. When she did show up, she was late, who had written two bad checks when one was supposed to be a termination offense, who initiated the complaints that they made about Ms. Vaughn commenting in a favorable fashion toward President Bush and an unfavorable fashion toward President Obama. She initiated those complaints. And when Ms. Vaughn would complain about this, in our view of the record, horrible employee, what management would say was, we can't do anything about her. We got to dot our P's and Q's. There's nothing we can do about her. And then she is the person who went to management and complained about Ms. Vaughn's comments on the election. To say that an employer can prefer and can take disciplinary action or refuse to take disciplinary action against a wholly horrible employee and then fire an employee that they know is outstanding who is white because the subordinate black employee has made these complaints is just the heart of what a jury could find is race discrimination.
Well, I mean, if the law is pretty tough on comparables, if that's what you would call this person. He's got to be somebody in a like position. And this was a subordinate, so why doesn't that make it
for Your Honor, we don't believe the analysis in these comparable cases even applies in this case for this reason. In those cases, what we're talking about is you have two employees who commit acts of misconduct. And what this court has held and other courts have held is they have to be substantially identical. We got to show that the positions are the same, the conduct's the same to show discrimination, but that's not what we got here. We have here an employee who's an outstanding employee who hasn't committed any act of misconduct, and the person that we're talking about is a horrible employee whom the only inference can be drawn is they won't do anything about her because she's black. We do not believe that these substantially identical cases control in this case. And we'd also point out, Your Honor, that that's simply one method of proving discrimination. We went through, as the district court analyzed and rejected each one, probably 10 different incidents that a fact finder could find indicated race discrimination. I think probably one of the more persuasive things, they always had an all-black workforce, essentially. They're all black bankers until the very end when there was a black applicant and a white applicant. Ms. Vaughn says that she was instructed to make sure that if we hire that white applicant that she can get along with these black employees. And so Ms. Vaughn followed instructions, interviewed the white employee and said, listen, I'm not racist. I get along with everybody. Can you be a part of our team and go along? And they say that's race discrimination. So how in the world, Your Honor, can we say that a reasonable fact finder could not find that a white person trying to combat race discrimination is a racist? The charge is he's a racist is just wrong, totally pretextual. Your Honor, I noticed counsel says in their brief that they never really charged with being a racist. They just said she made some unfortunate comments. I'd refer Your Honors to page 264 and page 265 when Ms. Vaughn testifies unequivocally that she was told the reason you're being fired is because of your racism. That's what she says in the record. And even if you take their written explanation for why they fired her, and I'm quoting this from the record, was, quote, inappropriate comments in the presence of customers that created a perception of race discrimination. That's their written explanation. There's no evidence she ever said anything in the presence of a customer. The overwhelming evidence,
well,
none of these.
Suppose she had said, I don't like fat people in the presence of a fat customer. You wouldn't object that the bank could have fired her for that sort of thing, which is bad PR.
No, Your Honor, because there's nothing from the comment about fat people that anybody could say, that any reasonable fact finder could infer that some type of discrimination prohibited by the law, but race discrimination is prohibited by the law. So she could say, we don't like the fact you've commented about fat people, or we're going to fire you because we don't like the color of your hair. She could do that.
Well, I mean, even if, you know, this is not a First Amendment issue with the government as an employer. I'm going to save my voice here, which you probably appreciate. But just for the sake of argument, if she was going around in a public way in this particular neighborhood saying that President Obama's an idiot, I can't stand him, I hope the Tea Party defeats him at every turn, that is something that, although it's not racist, it's political, and again, the bank could have a reason for firing somebody for intemperate comment.
Yes, yes, ma'am. If the jury reached that conclusion that there was no race involved in it, but the reason we believe it's unlikely a jury would reach that conclusion is that the black employee, Ms. Williams, under the evidence, is the one that started all of the comments. She's the one that made the comment critical after all the employees booed when President Bush came on the stand or made disparaging remarks. It's Ms. Vaughn that just spoke up and said, well, he's the ex-president, you know, he's entitled to be there. And so if you're going to have black employees that are making similar statements, and particularly Ms. Williams, the question for the fact finder is, does this evidence a racial motivation? And it's a question of fact for the jury, Your Honor. It's not a question to be resolved as a matter of law. If the jury were to find that these comments were not, that race wasn't the reason and they're political solely and race had nothing to do with it, then they'd find for the defendant. That'd be the end of the case.
Well, they had a rule against doing conduct or making remarks that are offensive to customers or co-employees or subordinates, unprofessional, offensive comments. And why couldn't the bank consider her comments about Obama, about his race and religion, and that he's lying about his where he was born and so forth? Why couldn't they consider that offensive to black subordinates? I mean, she was a supervisor, after all.
Yes, Your Honor, if the facts were exactly as Your Honor laid them out, I think they would have a much more compelling argument. But the evidence in this case is that, first of all, the comments that she made about President Obama that they knew about at the time were in response to what the black employee had said. They were in response to what the black employee had said about President Bush. And that she simply responded to that and said, well, he's the former president. Now, in discovery, it came out that she had a discussion with a black employee the next day where she made some comments about Jesse Jackson and about that she would have voted for Jesse Jackson. He's black, but she would have voted for him because he's a Christian and things like that. But when you look at the record, taking the evidence in the light most favorable to us and looking at what Ms. Vaughn said, the reasons where they gave her was, first, the inauguration comments, which was in response to a comment by a black employee, and second, that not anything she did, but that a white employee had been in the bank and the white employee had said, it's awfully dark in here. Ms. Vaughn checked into that and said that the employee said it was simply in reference to the lighting, like we might say in this courtroom, it's awfully dark in here. They interpreted it to mean just the fact that they had all a black workforce. But that was the second thing that they held her responsible for. So what I'm saying, Your Honor, is it's a question for a fact for the jury as whether race was a motivating factor in view of the statements that they made indicating a need to prefer black employees. For example, they were interviewing a white and a black employee when she left for the job. They were going to offer the black employee $1 more per hour than they were going to offer the white employee. And Ms. Vaughn, based on her experience at the bank, testified about why they would prefer the black employees, because they thought they'd make more money off of black customers. And it's just a question for the jury as to whether race was being taken into account. So, Your Honor, I don't, I mean, I certainly believe if the jury believes that this employer reasonably believed that she was making racist comments, they could fire her for it. But on the other hand, if the jury believes that one reason for her firing was their preference for black employees or their desire to favor black employees, then that is race discrimination. And as Your Honor knows, Title VII in 1991 made no distinction. It's just as illegal to discriminate against whites as it is to discriminate against blacks.
And you have the Doolin case.
Your Honor, the reason I think the Doolin case is similar is because in the Doolin case, the panel originally went through these various items of evidence and rejected each one as being sufficient proof of race discrimination. And then when the panel reconsidered and reversed Doolin, it simply made about a one-paragraph opinion and said, well, this is just a Reeves case. There's evidence on both sides. And there's just no – what the district judge did and what Your Honors would have to do to affirm is to weigh the evidence, to take each one of these specific acts that she believed was indicative of race discrimination, say, well, those aren't sufficient. And the weigh into the evidence is a task for the jury. So for those reasons, Your Honor, if there's not any further questions, I reserve the rest of my time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Ardling.
May it please the court, I'm Paula Ardling here on behalf of Wood Forest, and I'd like to point out that on page 22 of the appellant's brief, she states that this is not a normal discrimination case. She admits that the person she accuses of firing her, Ms. Gaskamp, did not have a racial animus towards white persons, and that is true. She goes on to say, however, that she was fired for no reason, and that is not correct. She was an employee, complained about her. The bank investigated not only Ms. Gaskamp, but the Human Resources Department. They found numerous instances where she had made inappropriate comments that employees took offense at. And after considering all of that, they decided that termination was the appropriate action to take. The comments were not limited to the comments regarding President Obama's inauguration, although those were significant comments.
And what did you say?
She testified that I told them about racism. I told them that I was tired of the media making this a black and white issue, and I wish they would stop doing that. She talked about in her Sunday school class that they had discussed President Obama's had been Muslim, that he said he converted to Christianity, and that if he were killed, we pray and hope it would never be the Americans to ever do it, that it would be his own people. She admitted in her deposition that if customers had been present, and there is some dispute as to whether or not they were, but she admitted that if customers had been present, she would never have made the comments because she would have been concerned that it would have offended them. She also told an African-American employee that she no longer used the N-word because she had been disciplined with a prior employer about the use of that word in reference to a white person, she says, and told the employee that she defined that as a low-down and sorry person. She told her employees, most of whom who were African-American, that she was not prejudiced and that the prior manager had told her that most of them would never have been hired but for her, and that the prior manager, was more of a prejudiced person than she ever thought about. Those are comments that Ms. Vaughn admitted that she made. Wood Forest does have a policy against harassment, against making offensive or comments which could offend other employees, and they found that she did make inappropriate comments in the presence of employees and customers that created a perception of racial discrimination and an uncomfortable environment. And in the termination form, they went on to discuss that she was the branch manager. She was held to the highest of standards because she was the person speaking on behalf of the bank at that branch. The comparators have been briefed, as Mr. Wade said. He points to one comparator, Rhonda Williams. She is a subordinate. The conduct in which she engaged, according to the plaintiff, was writing bad checks and other attendance issues, many of which were covered by the Family Medical Leave Act. But they're not similarly situated because the differences in their positions as well as the differences in their conduct.
How long had the plaintiff been with the bank?
5 months, between 5 and 6 months. She had been hired in September of 2008. It was a new branch, and she was released in February of 2009.
And all of her performance reviews had been very good, had they not?
Yes, Your Honor. She only had one, as I recall, during that five-month period, and it was a good review. And Ms. Gaskamp, the decision-maker who was involved in hiring her, she also promoted her. She gave her, I think, 3 pay increases during that five-month period and a good review. It was after an employee complaint was received and that she went on-site and visited with people and that the Human Resources Department also interviewed people that this issue was discovered. I think that's a clear indication that race was not a motivating factor in the actions that were ultimately taken.
Counsel, tell me a little bit about Wood Forest Bank. How many employees did they have at the place where she worked?
At that time, there would have been 6 to 7 employees.
Is it in a separate building of its own?
It's in a Walmart branch in Starkville, Mississippi. I mean, a Walmart store in Starkville, Mississippi, and that's somewhat Wood Forest's business model. They do have freestanding banks in Texas and perhaps other places.
And how many branches did they have in Starkville?
Just one, Your Honor, as I recall.
And where were the other branches in Mississippi?
At the time, to be honest, Your Honor, I'm not sure. They were just rolling into Mississippi, and
What was the chain of command? She was branch manager for this branch that she worked at. Who was her supervisor, and where was that supervisor located?
Her supervisor is Misty Gaskamp, who is a regional manager, and she actually lives in Jackson and travels and works from her home. She does not have one location, so she was not at the branch on a regular basis.
And where are the guidelines that the bank issues about conduct? Where do they come from? Is that from Misty?
Yes, Your Honor. When people are hired, there's a new branch team that comes in, and Misty helps oversee that, and they provide them with the training and the harassment policy and the guidelines at that time.
Does the policy contain any specifics as to matters that are not to be discussed during working hours? What does the bank use in determining that her conduct was, quote, unprofessional?
Well, the bank has its policies that do refer to offensive conduct or conduct which could offend other employees based on race, sex, and other qualifiers, and then the termination form quotes the employee guide as well that provides instruction related to inappropriate comments and the need to provide the best possible work environment.
Who determines inappropriateness? Does Misty determine that?
Your Honor, I think the employees essentially determined that the conduct was offensive to them because of
Did they vote on that?
No, Your Honor. Based upon the information provided by the employees, Ms. Gaskamp determined that the conduct in which Ms. Vaughn engaged had offended the employees and caused an uncomfortable work environment.
Well, surely somebody exercises some judgment, though, about just because an employee complained that somebody said something that was offensive, that wouldn't be ordinarily they wouldn't be fired for that unless somebody looked at it and said, yeah, well, that reasonably could have been offensive.
Yes, Your Honor, Ms. Gaskamp, based upon all the information gathered, did look at it and determine that the employees were reasonably offended by the conduct.
Is that in the record? Is there some sort of record of that?
Of the finding that the conduct was unreasonable?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Your Honor, on pages 156 and 157 of the record, it's the termination form that sets forth the finding that the employee engaged in unsatisfactory conduct.
That's a conclusion. I'm asking for who said what to whom and why as an example of an unprofessional comment.
Well, those comments were in the record in the deposition testimony of the persons identified, as well as through Ms. Vaughn's own testimony.
And where is Ms. Gaskamp, or excuse me if that's, she may be married, I'm not sure she's a miss, but the individual named Gaskamp, where does she work and live?
She is in Jackson or in Brandon, Mississippi.
And how far is that from where the branch in question is?
It would be approximately 2 hours.
2 hours driving time?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Did the policies of the bank set out the kind of offenses that merited termination as opposed to offenses that merited counseling and reprimand and that kind of thing?
No, Your Honor, they did not have a progressive discipline policy.
Everything was a termination offense?
It was based upon the discretion of management, Your Honor.
And tell me who that management exercised that discretion. Who were the individuals?
Misty Gaskamp, who is the regional manager, as well as Julie Mayrant, an executive vice president. Ms. Gaskamp consulted with her as well.
Was there any opportunity for hearing before that group, or did they do that on their own on the basis of whatever research they did?
There was no hearing. There was the investigation itself.
Who conducted the investigation?
Misty Gaskamp. And then a human resources person also did it by telephone, Marcy Langenberg.
Where are the human resources person?
In Houston, Texas, Your Honor.
So you are judging on inappropriateness on the basis of what was reported to Houston, Texas, and they made the decision as to whether or not it was professional, unprofessional, or disturbing to employees?
Your Honor, Misty Gaskamp interviewed the employees in person, and then Marcy Langenberg talked to them by telephone. It was a collective investigation, and then Misty, based upon all that she had heard and personal observations, determined that termination was appropriate and consulted with Julie Mayrant and made the decision, Your Honor.
Well, there is, as I understand it, no remedy other than termination. There's no suspension, no reduction of pay, no other form of criticism or punishment other than termination. Is that correct?
Your Honor, I think they could have made other decisions, but the decision they made in this case was that termination was appropriate. And I think the court has consistently held that even if an employer made an incorrect decision or a decision that the court wouldn't necessarily agree with, that it doesn't second-guess the judgment of the employer if they conducted an investigation and made a decision based upon its good faith belief that that was the appropriate thing to do.
And I assume that all is in the summary judgment record that we can look at up here. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Mr. Wade also talked about Ms. Vaughn's speculation that when I asked her in her deposition why she thought she had been fired, she said that Ms. Gaskamp probably wanted an African-American manager because there were more African-American employees. If that were the case, Ms. Gaskamp could have chosen Rhonda Williams when she decided to promote Ms. Vaughn to the branch manager position. Her theory is unsubstantiated and a subjective belief and doesn't constitute evidence of race discrimination, as this court has repeatedly held in cases such as Brown v. City of Houston, which is cited in our brief.
Well, what do you do with comments by Ms. Gaskamp, if they're supported by the record, that she was afraid of imposing discipline against a black employee for fear of a lawsuit? And seems to me she made a cut. There's allegations she made some other comments like that.
Your Honor, Ms. Gaskamp and Ms. Vaughn's testimony regarding Ms. Gaskamp's comments was not that Ms. Gaskamp feared taking action against Ms. Williams because of her race. According to Ms. Vaughn's testimony, Ms. Gaskamp said, we have to be careful what we do with Rhonda. We need to be on our P's and Q's. There was no reference whatsoever to race. And in fact, Ms. Williams had been out on family medical leave.
What items do you think Ms. Gaskamp had in mind when she said we have to be on our P's and Q's about this lady? What is she talking about?
She is talking about the attendance and issues with Ms. Williams. Ms. Williams had taken family medical leave, and there were not documents supporting the absences or a write-up. Many of those absences were protected. So it was reasonable for Ms. Gaskamp to want to make sure that no action was taken against Ms. Williams, which could be considered in violation of the Family Medical Leave Act.
Now, Jerry might disagree with that inference, so might.
Well, I think that is Ms. Gaskamp's, that would be Ms. Gaskamp's testimony as opposed to what Ms. Vaughn is inferring in that situation.
Yeah, but I mean, Jerry could take the words and make its own inference about what she really, why she wanted Ms. Vaughn to be on her P's and Q's.
They're sure that picture may be tried to be painted, Your Honor, but at the summary judgment stage, they have to come forward with more than inferences and subjective beliefs, and they have not.
Well, what about just the idea that a jury could reasonably conclude that this was kind of a draconian sanction that the bank took here? They've got a completely clean record. An employee makes a complaint about remarks that are made they're certainly not overtly racial, and that the employees are offended, say they're offended, and so rather than counseling the woman or telling her, look, you've just got to use better judgment, they just fire right on the spot. I mean, could the jury look at that as draconian and say there must have been something else behind this?
Well, the jury could well disagree with the decision.
I'm not talking about disagreeing with the decision. I'm just saying that this is, I know what they said the reason the decision was, but it looks like to me there's something behind this.
Well, Your Honor, Ms. Vaughn admitted that she engaged in the conduct that resulted in her termination. She did not admit that she engaged in all of it, but she did admit that she engaged in much of it.
Yeah, but so some of those statements you read just weren't that, many workplaces would not have been that controversial.
They were to the African-American employees in that branch. There was an overall concern.
Well, and then that's where you raise the concern that Mr. Wade expressed is, if African-American employees had offended Ms. Vaughn, would they have been subject to the same outcome?
I can't answer that, but I can say Ms. Vaughn was the manager and the employees were the subordinate, and that Ms. Vaughn never complained about any conduct in the branch which she found offensive.
Well, if you had a bunch of white employees and a black manager, and the black manager had made the kinds of statements that Ms. Vaughn made, albeit in a black context, you think that person would have been fired?
I suspect so, Your Honor. There are no facts to support that. There have been no complaints, and that situation has not occurred, but I suspect that the standard would be...
Did the bank show any evidence of similar situations where they had fired people for this kind of conduct?
Not for this type of conduct. As I mentioned, they were relatively new rolling into this area.
I mean, anywhere. I mean, what area did they do business in?
In the southeast, primarily.
Did they show any evidence of this, something like this happening in any of their other banks where they fired an employee for this kind of conduct?
No, Your Honor. In conclusion, she was a branch manager. They received complaints about her. They investigated, and they made the decision to terminate based upon that investigation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Wade, back to you.
Thank you. Your Honor, counsel's statements about there were complaints by black employees, a careful reading of the record does not support that statement, Your Honor. The only thing the record supports is that this Ms. Williams, the very poor black employee, had made complaints. In fact, had repeatedly complained about Ms. Vaughn. We took the depositions of those black employees, and each testified they had never heard any racial statements by Ms. Vaughn. When you read the record, you'll find that the record discloses, taken in the light most favorable to plaintiff, that Ms. Vaughn had a very close relationship with the other black employees. They talk about a lot of personal things, family issues, and that she had a very close relationship. One of the black employees accompanied her to her car trying to give her support when she was so crying and upset about it. Taken in a fair reading of the record, what you have is one black poor employee who complained about Ms. Vaughn. They would not do anything about her poor work habits, and their reaction was to fire Ms. Vaughn. Ms. Gesskamp has an affidavit. They have two affidavits, and I'm sorry I can't give the court the record, but one of Ms. Gesskamp's affidavits is very telling because she says, we investigated and I interviewed these, they're all black employees, I interviewed all of them, but she never says what they said. She never says what they said. The only thing we know they said is what's in their deposition testimony, which is that they were not offended. And so it's just a case where this company is just quick to get rid of a white employee if a black employee complains. And we just believe that is race discrimination or indifference to whether a person's being discriminated against on grounds of race. So,
what about Ms. Baum's supervisor? You have her deposition, right?
That's Ms. Gesskamp.
Ms. Gesskamp.
Yes, Ms. Gesskamp. But now, she's not there very often, as counsel indicated. I believe she said she would be there once every three or four.
Counsel opposite said that she talked to all the people and all the employees in the bank. So, what did she say in her deposition that they said?
I'm afraid, either not in there or she wasn't asked. That never came out, but we took their depositions directly, and they had no complaints. We asked whether they'd ever heard her say anything, any racial things, and they said no. Except there were some mutual comments. Like, for example, Your Honor, the black employee who replaced Ms. Vaughn is Ms. Young, black employee who took her place. And the evidence was Ms. Young had also made statements referencing race. They're just like Ms. Vaughn's. They were very innocuous. In fact, Ms. Young had said, you and I, referring to Ms. Vaughn, you and I are like sisters. The only difference between us is you're white and I'm black. So those were innocuous statements. These things that she says, the ones that she says are objectionable or that an employer might reasonably find objectionable, such as a comment that that Malcolm X had been killed by his own people, something to that effect, was made in a private conversation with a black employee. There's no evidence that the employer knew anything about that. That came out during discovery that she'd made that. And she was asked in deposition, have you ever used the N-word? Yes, I did, 20 years ago, she said. That's another thing that they're talking about. When I worked for AirCap, I used the N-word in reference to a white employee 20 years ago. That's not anything that had anything to do with this discharge. Your Honor, as the court was indicating, these are simply inferences to be drawn from the evidence. The fact that there's just worlds of things that the jury could think black is a reason. This Octavia County is a predominantly white county. Every juror in the Northern District of Mississippi would know that, and they do nothing but hire black employees there because, according to Ms. Vaughn, they believe that they'll make more money. They believe they'll write more bad checks and make $32 a check. They're just using race as a criterion, and they're going to prefer a black employee over a white employee. And so this is a question, Your Honor, that the jury should have decided.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, counsel. We have your case.